Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Fuckers. It's the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez.
We're with Rattlesnake, Snake, Real Ass Dude, Ultimate Minority, Joan Jett of Comedy. I got a lot of names.
International Superstar Zach D'Amico.
How you doing, buddy?
He's funny. He's a psycho. He's a real ass dude.
I was double teaming this chick with her husband. Now he's selling coke in heaven.
Are you fucking ready, motherfuckers?
It's the only real podcast left out there.
I'm smoking this right now. Like a drug addict. Like, this isn't like social or fun or cute. This is like, I'm like, I wanted the drugs in me. I'm like, everyone watch me.
Which of the 48 laws of power states to take a humongous dab before doing what you're doing?
That's law 24. The second you drop off your son, you do drugs like an animal.
It really is true.
Law number 48. Do it, dab.
He literally
smoke wax.
I hit it as before the door closes as he leaves. I'm fucking hitting it. Look, we got a great show planned today. It's your boy Louis J. Gomez coming to you from my brand new home studio. My living room here in New York City with another edition of the Real Ass Podcast. And you know what the fuck's up. You know what's up, baby boys. You heard it already. It's another edition of the 48 Laws of White Power.
Tiki torch.
We have a very exciting show, okay? I'm already very, very blazed. I'm drinking some whiskey right now. I'm hoping that as you guys are joining us on this journey, you are also developing massive alcohol problems. Massive alcohol problems. Matt McCuster, are you going to get whiskey?
Sorry about that, boys. I had to move something.
What did you hide? What was in view that you didn't want on camera?
Don't worry about it, dude.
But everyone can rewind now and see.
I know.
That'll be a fun Easter egg.
I do stamps.com. They sent me my digital scale. I had to move it.
I don't know what's going 1-800 on.
1-800-stamps.com, free digital scale. That's what I was mailing merch to fans, bro. I had to move that. Don't worry about it. 100stamps.com.
I really want to know what he moved now. Everyone just stopped and rewinded it, and they all know. And I don't know. And it's bothering me.
I told you.
Is that a 48 law of power move you just pulled on me?
Yeah, dude. I fucking mixed it up on you. No, it's one. I do 1-800stamps.com, dude. They give you a digital scale for mailing merchandise, dude.
So why did you have to move it?
1-800stamps.com digital scale.
Why did you have to move it?
It just is a bad look, dude. I don't want people thinking it was for something else.
Okay. You know, 1-800-STAMPS isn't enough numbers.
I didn't want people thinking it was not non-stamps.com affiliated.
I have a feeling that was not a stamps.com affiliated scale. He just was fucking weighing out blow in his basement. Oh, shit. Look, incredible show.
The 48 laws of white powder.
Yes. If you guys have not heard any of the other shows we've done before, one of my favorite books, The 48 Laws of Power. Love it. Love it. The Louis J. Gomez Manual. Every Law Speaks to Me. And we've gone over now, this is the third episode in the four-part series, 48 Laws of White Power. What we are going to do is we are going to break down this next 12 laws. And we're just going to talk about how it relates to our lives. It relates to comedy. It relates to fatherhood. You know, me and Matt McCusker, both fathers, podcasting, yeah. The world of Gas Digital, maybe the world of coronavirus, maybe the world, the new world that we live in. How can you use this power to navigate this crazy new world and make sure that you are one of the people that are still at the top? Because the people that are at the top are always going to be at the top, baby boy. Whether they're people, whether the virus is killing people, whether the society is collapsing, the economy is collapsing, Guess what? People that win always fucking win. And we're going to teach you how to be winners today on the Real Ass Podcast. Welcome to the 48 Laws of White Power, Part 3.
Step 1, fake a virus.
That honestly, don't get me into it. I'm trying to stay away. Don't get me started, bro.
I'm running right into the storm, dude. That's Philadelphia. We're at like 100 deaths, so I don't know.
It ain't shit, right?
It's a flu. 60,000 deaths worldwide. This is a regular flu season. I mean, it's no, you know, it sucks and people get sick from it, but shut down the economy?
Come on, bro.
I don't know.
Come on, bro. This is a very powerful move right there. Very fucking powerful. Very white of you. I love it, Matt McCusker.
Denying COVID.
Yeah, dude. Hell yeah, dude. Yeah. All right. Look, Shannon, you're going to bring everything up. Let's get the plugs out of the way really quick because we have to break these laws down. We only got a little bit more than an hour here to do this on today's show. Thank you very much for everyone for tuning in. Real quick, go subscribe, gasdigitalnetwork.com. The entire on-demand library, every episode of the Real Ass Podcast is available at your fingertips. Use the promo code RAP30. Get a 30-day free trial. We're giving you 30 days of the Gas Digital Premium service. It is uncensored, ad-free, pre-release and everything. But the most important part, what you're getting is about 8,000 hours of content. All unseen. You can't find it anywhere else. You can't find it on YouTube, iTunes, anywhere else. Thousands and thousands of hours of content. The Real Ass Podcast, Lead You to Skanks, Leave You Me, Zach Amico's Midnight Spook Show. Incredible, incredible content. 22 shows. We just launched Joe DeRosa and Corinne Fisher Show, which is actually premiering right now on Gas Digital. While we're recording this, I should say last night, premiering Gas Digital. So make sure you guys go subscribe. Use that promo code. Get a 30-day free trial. That is the way that you can support this fucking network. During this time, I'm going to tell you something. If you guys want some incredible content and you want to support us, that's the absolute best way that you can do it. Matt McCusker, what do you got to plug, my brother?
Matt and Shane Secret Podcast.
Hell yeah.
All day. All night, dude.
Powerful fucking move right there, dude. You didn't even fucking need to say anything else. I like it. I like it. Zach Amico.
Instagram. Zach is not funny. Check out my other show on the network. Zach Amico's Midnight Spook Show, Fridays at midnight. Check out Capital Wrestling here on Gas Digital every Saturday morning at 11 a.m.
I need a tissue. I don't know what's going on. I've had a runny nose for a month.
You might die. You could die from that.
I don't know, man.
Runny nose, death sentence. What is that thing you're smoking out of?
It's a. It's called a Puffco Peak Dab Vaporizer. Yeah, dude. Get fucking high as shit. Here's the book right here, guys. And this book, this version of the book, it's missing a bunch of pages.
How long have you been reading this book for now?
I've read the book. I've read the book once fully through. I've listened to the audiobook twice.
Gotcha.
But the book, no, I might have read the book twice through at this point. The reason it's missing pages is because what I would do is I would go to Equinox and I would go to the steam room and I would want to read the book in the steam room. So I would tear it because I don't want to ruin the book. So I would tear the pages out of the book, dude, and I'd go to the steam room with the pages that I wouldn't care about getting wet in the steam room. So if you go through this book, you're like, holy shit, there's a bunch of pages missing, but that's why.
Good thing you didn't bring that book into the steam room. If you bring that book into the gym locker room, that's a signal.
That's it. That's like tapping your foot under the stall.
Yeah.
Now, fun fact, McCusker, I'm pretty sure this is true. This book is not allowed in prisons.
Yeah, really? That is also in certain
it's
prisons,
contraband
yeah.
Because it inspires prisoners to like start uprisings or like join like start gangs and shit.
It empowers prisoners, so they took it out of prisons.
Yes. They do not want prisoners to be empowered. Which they I don't know. Get.
That's cool. Yeah, they don't want them to know about power.
Yeah, you gotta give them like fucking just all books that are gonna make them not aggressive. It's not even about like forget aggressive, it's like it's about what to do with that aggression. You know, because if you take this book, you could apply it to anything, McCusker. Watch, you'll see. We're going to go over these laws right now. Apply it to anything. You can pick any industry, and I feel bad because you're going to miss the first 24 of these laws. I almost wish we would have started from the beginning with you, but you know,
I could probably guess them.
Give me one.
Be
guess.
Firm.
Yes. One number three.
Never say never.
I know, dude. This is all fucking.
Never say never is law number 17.
Come on. I know it. Know it like the back of my hand. Beef.
Rule number 13, quitters never win. You know these.
Dude, everything's negotiation.
Okay, so Shannon, where are we at? We're at law number 25. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, it's the 48 laws of white power.
Law 25, never tear pages out of this book.
Law 25, recreate yourself. Do not accept the roles that society foists on you. Recreate yourself by forging a new identity, one that commands attention and never bores the audience. Be the master of your own image rather than letting others define it for you. Incorporate dramatic devices into your public gestures and actions. Your power will be enhanced and your character will seem larger than life.
I love that one, dude.
Yeah, live your gimmick.
I love that, dude. It's a powerful gesture right there.
It's a powerful...
Love that one, dude. Love it.
Fucking dope. Yeah, man, that's a good one.
You have to fucking recreate yourself. You have to constantly. This is what I do. You guys may have noticed. Maybe you noticed a couple months ago I was wearing yellow sunglasses and I had a mustache and a beard.
Now you're clean shaven.
Boom, recreated myself.
Wow, that's a good idea. Keep people guessing. That's a good idea. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, you have to keep people guessing. It gives people the idea, like, what the fuck is this guy going on? It's also about being bold. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I have the balls to wear those sunglasses, those pedophile-y sunglasses, I must be a fucking powerful motherfucker. You know, if I just come out like that, it's like, what the fuck? That guy just did that. You know, it's a very, very powerful move.
Yeah.
You got to recreate yourself, McCusker. You've been this version of Matt McCusker for way too long.
I've been constantly evolving, dude. I might evolve faster than anyone I know.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You've evolved twice on this podcast.
Exactly, dude. You don't know what you're going to get. Yeah. What do you think about that, Zach?
You know, I agree. Lewis changing up his thing. It would be like if you had classic Madonna, then she tried a new look that didn't work, and then she was just classic Madonna again forever.
Are you saying that now I'm just being classic Lewis again?
Yes.
Are you recreating yourself, or are you just letting a book tell you how to live your life?
Dude, don't fuck. Edit that, Shannon. I don't like how you caught me in the corner there. Matt, you can't make me look stupid to my fan base, dude.
I'm evolving. Me, sorry I evolved. Sorry
dude,
I don't asked. Evolve.
Dude, I didn't say evolve like beyond my brain capacity. Stay with us, dude. The fuck's wrong with you? We're trying to inspire people.
I am. No. I'm saying I just read the book and I can put it down now. It hit me so hard that I'm like, oh my God, it all makes sense now.
You only needed one law.
That's why it's banned from prison, dude. Holy shit.
He's reconsidered everything in his life. All he needed was one law.
I'm gonna leave my family right now.
Yeah. But yeah, look, that is a solid law. Okay.
Yep.
You need to recreate yourself. Shannon, that's another thing, Shannon. I feel like you've been the same old Shannon for a long time.
Well, I became vegan. That changed. That was in the past 6 months.
That is actually true. I should say Shannon recreated herself as a fucking hottie because Shannon was getting to be a little bit of a fatty for a little while. And then she recreated herself. And then everyone was like, holy shit, this bitch is powerful as shit, dude.
How's the veganism? You made it 6 months?
Yeah, it's about 6 months now.
Nice. How have the dumps been? That's a big change. I did it for a month and my dumps were pretty serious. Nice, in a good way.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty healthy, I'd say. Probably like once a day, and it's like how it should be, I feel like.
Ew.
You're fired.
And by how it should be, I mean smells like roses and is glitter.
Yeah, like an earthy, not real earthy smell.
It's actually liquid that comes out of your vagina.
That's kind of funny.
Shannon, would you let a man see your poop? Like not watch you poop. Shannon, you're the type of person that doesn't poop if you have a boyfriend, right? Like you hold it in if he's around.
Yeah.
I love that. This is why I think me and Shannon are fucking soulmates, because that's the type of woman that I fucking like.
I lived with someone for a year and wouldn't ever poop when he was in the house.
Good. Good. Never fart, right? Never fart in front of him?
Never.
Not once. Have you ever farted in front of a man?
Never.
Not even by accident?
No, not like maybe like a family member, but not a friend, not a boyfriend.
Yeah. I remember, because it was the kids in high school that were, this is a sign of power, in high school power. Mm. A kid that will just fart in front of everybody. Like that fucking kid has some confidence. That kid is, you know. My friend James Saccone would just fucking let him rip. He'd be in the hallway and it'd be some cute chick and he'd be like, hey, what's up? And he'd fart at her and she'd giggle and he'd laugh and he'd fucking, and I'm like, that's like crazy to me. That was a crazy fucking thing for him to do, but it worked.
I'm girls pretty like sure it. The same kid farted during standardized tests from first grade through my senior year of high school. Every year, I think Gus Bajorgios farted loudly during one of those tests.
I took a dump, I think on my first time in my wife's house when we were dating, I was like, I got to use the bathroom and smash the dump.
The first time.
You have to. Yeah. The girls love it when you poop around them.
That is a sign of confidence. It's a sign that you're comfortable in front of them. Mm-hmm. It's a sign that you're powerful. Pooping right now. I'll tell you right now, let's rewrite the 25th law. I'll tell you right now, poop around bitches. Law number 25.
Real. You have to. Farting, like first date, if you let out like a loud squeaker, dude, that's it.
No, you shit around them in a circle like a wrestling ring, and that's how you mark that you're there, your territory.
True. Poop around bitches.
Law number 25, poop around bitches.
Take that to the steam room.
I mean, you know, recreating yourself is one thing. I needed to recreate myself and have that type of confidence. I don't do that. If I date a chick for a while, she'll know that I'm shitting. I won't like shit with the door open. But if it's a new chick, like I'll hold it in. Dude, you know.
Why?
If I'm fucking a chick and I like, you know, and I like, I'll like holding a fart all night. Like I'll hold a fart in while I'm fucking her the whole time.
True.
You know how difficult it is to hold a fart in while you fuck?
Yes, actually. Yeah. I mean, honestly, if you were to have sex and immediately go daddy her by sticking up the bathroom, dude, she would like that, dude.
She would love it.
Daddy, they remember daddy scent, how strong daddy's dumps were.
Guys who don't recreate fart that are guys who wear t-shirts in the pool.
The what? Hold on. What did you say?
Guys who don't fart in front of chicks are the same guys who wear t-shirts in the fucking pool. They're fat, nervous, fucking losers. You need to fart into your girlfriend's face and tell her that you're the fucking most powerful. That is a very good law.
Yes, I don't wear a shirt during sex, and I fart in the pool.
Damn. Yes. I might redefine myself this summer by swimming exclusively with a shirt on.
And farting.
All right, guys, let's take a quick second and thank one of our incredible sponsors, which is the Ridge Wallet. I love my Ridge Wallet. If you guys don't know, Ridge Wallet is the coolest, slickest wallet you will ever have in your entire life. It is not your normal, traditional, leathery, big, folded, crappy hunk of crap that you're used to. The same wallet that your grandpa probably had or your father probably had, that is a relic of the past. The Ridge Wallet is a minimalist front pocket wallet. It comes in 12 different styles. They make it have aluminum, carbon fiber, titanium. This is real deal, high quality stuff. When I say minimalist, it means it's just designed to hold your credit cards and your cash. If you go through your wallet right now, I'm sure if you look in it, you have business cards, gum wrappers, pieces of paper that you're never going to look at again. It is not the way that you want to live your life. The Ridge Wallet is truly the coolest wallet you will ever see. Don't just listen to me. Go check out their incredible inventory right now. Just go to ridge.com/real. Ridge.com/real. Check out all their amazing wallets, bags, cell phone cases, everything. And if you use the promo code REAL, R-E-A-L, you can click the link in the episode description. You're going to save 10% off your entire order. So do that right now. Ridge.com/real. Use that promo code REAL. And, enjoy yourself a Ridge Wallet. All right, where were we?
No bottoms.
All right, Shannon, let's go to law number 26. This
little penis tip out of the shirt.
We're talking about the coronavirus and then how to be in this day and age. This law is actually perfect. Law number 26, keep your hands clean. This is like, it was written for this day and age.
By mistakes and nasty deeds.
They say wash for what? Like a full minute, right? 20 seconds?
Happy birthday twice.
Cat's paws to disguise. What the fuck? What does this mean?
Hold on. Keep your hands clean. It's not literally, guys. That was a little gag I was doing for everyone. You may seem a paragon of civility and efficiency. All right. Hold on. That sentence, I'm going to need a couple of minutes to break down. Paragon Sports. That's a place that sells sneakers. Civility, civilized, efficiency. I know what that means. Paragon is the word that's a problem in that sentence for me, Shannon.
A paragon is like a shining example, a beacon.
Okay, all right. You may seem a beacon of civility and efficiency. I am. Some would say that. you must.
Prime example.
You must seem like one. Okay. Of civility and efficiency. This is a hard one for me. This is a hard one for me. I am not civilized or efficient. Those are two things that people would not describe me as. Your hands are never soiled by mistakes and nasty deeds. Maintain such a spotless appearance by using others as scapegoats and cat's paws to disguise your involvement. This is great. This is a great law. So here's the thing. I apply this one all the time, okay? So where, Shannon, remember the other law where I take credit for the things you do?
Yes.
It's also, this is like the opposite end of that law. where it's like when things get fucked up, I'm like, it's not me.
That's where Blame Shannon came from.
Blame Shannon is actually, we have a segment on the show, a drop on the show, which highlights this law.
Blame Shannon.
The Blame Shannon law. Hold on, I'm going to write it in the book. The Blame Shannon law. Yeah, you want to seem like you have your shit together at all times. Simple as that. You want to seem like you're fucking, and this is what happens. It's we watch this happen in society, right? Because everyone only posts all the good shit they have going on. Everything on social media, it's all the fucking awards they have. It's all the fucking great meals that they're cooking, the dates they're going on, the cool fucking places they're visiting. That right there is just sort of symbolic of how the instinct works, human instinct works. We want to show that we have shit going on. And then, to be honest with you, it's a reason why people are fucking more depressed now, because it seems like everyone has their shit together. And then when you're alone by yourself, you're like, fuck, dude, I got nothing together. And everyone else has their shit together. But it's all just bullshit. Everyone is just applying the Blame Shannon law.
Yeah, I pretty much show, I own up all my mistakes.
It's not very powerful.
No, it's the most powerful thing you can do.
You think?
Yeah, so? But it's very funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I as soon as I make a mistake, I immediately find an authority figure and tell them the truth. I say, hey, I got to tell you.
Hey, I find
my
up.
Local district councilman and say, I got to tell you, I dropped the ball, sir.
Yeah. Sir, hey, there's no one else to blame here.
I always go to a trusted authority figure when I mess
this
up.
This was all me. Me on my own two back. Yeah.
I'll go to the manager of the closest supermarket and be like, sir, I have to tell you, I must confess.
I hit my wife.
What?
My dirty thoughts again.
What was the last mistake you made, McCusker?
What was the last mistake I made? The last big mistake, in my house, in a fit of anger, I threw a bottle of olive oil and it smashed and I had to repaint my walls.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That's a law of power, dude.
And saying that was a mistake. But that's, see, I got to be honest with you. It's a powerful ass fucking move. You let your wife know. Not, you let your wife and your newborn baby know.
It was before the baby.
Do not fucking cross me.
Way before. This is a while ago. Yeah, that was a bad.
Hey, would you stop breastfeeding so loudly?
No, what was the last mistake I made?
Why isn't this wall slippery enough?
I don't know. I can't remember the last mistake I made. I was justified in smashing the bottle of olive oil. I'll give myself that.
What was the reason? Why'd you smash it?
I don't know. I was just angry. I was an angry guy.
He questioned your scale?
Yeah. She's like, no, a nickel doesn't weigh 5 grams. This is bullshit. And I was like, what the fuck? I'm missing weight. Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. Number 27, Shannon.
Oh, sorry. Hold on.
It's okay, baby. That wasn't my fault. It was all Shannon, guys.
There we go.
Play on people's need to believe. Hold on. Shut up, Shannon. Play on people's need to believe to create a cult-like following. All right. Play on people's need to believe to create.
In order to create a cult-like following.
Yeah, they didn't say that, though, Zach.
That's but I was putting it in context for you.
Okay, give me. Thank you for helping me with words. People have an overwhelming desire to believe in something. Become the focal point of such desire by offering them a cause, a new faith to follow. Keep your words vague but full of promise. Emphasize enthusiasm over rationality and clear thinking. Give your new disciples rituals to perform. Ask them to make sacrifices on your behalf. In the absence of organized religion and grand causes, your new belief system will bring you untold power. This one seems a little far. Right? You hear it and you're like, all right.
This one's a little sociopathic.
Yeah. Like,
have people who make sacrifices for you. Okay. I get this one.
I mean, this is all pointing to pedophilic rituals, dude. These are the Satanists. This is all Satanism, dude. When I'm reading this, I'm like, politicians are starting. I'm like, oh, okay. This is why they say the things they say.
Well, look.
This is satanic, dude.
We have to.
We should be reading the Bible right now.
Shannon, we have to edit this part out because I need to, you know, I can't let the fans know exactly how much I manipulate them, but this will be just between us. This is just for the boys, all right, on the stream.
Okay.
Listen to me.
We're fucking leaders, McCusker. This is what we are. We're leaders. These people.
This is the dark side, bro. This is
no. We're leaders, dude. These people. They need something to follow. Every one of them.
It's true.
Okay. Everybody out there. We all want to. This is why everybody picks a political side. And if you don't like to pick a political side, you probably like some fucking dumb sports team that you feel like you're. We won the Super Bowl, right? This is natural tribalism. People need to fucking follow. So. What are you? Are you going to be the fucking person who follows? Or are you going to be the person who creates, who fulfills that need to follow?
I'm an Omega male. I stand outside all these games.
That's what I do.
This kind of shit pumps up. This is the reason your manager at your telephone company at Verizon is a total dickhead. He read this book and he's like, well, I'm going to need you to make some sacrifice. What the fuck are you talking about? This is empowering middle managers to be enormous dickheads. This book.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, sure, if that's where you strive to be. The problem is you're not utilizing this book properly if you're a manager at AT&T.
That's who, whatever. I read the Bible. I get my wisdom from the Bible, bro. Read that. Give me some Genesis.
He would, but he tore a bunch of pages out so he could read it in the chat.
You ever smoke joints out of Bible paper?
No, but I remember when I started going on the road with Nate Bargatze, when I was a young comedian, I thought it'd be really cool. I was like, dude, I'm going to steal the 666th page of every Bible from every hotel I stay in. I was going to create a book of page 666 from Bibles and just have a whole, just an ongoing book of the same page over and over again. And Nate's like an actual Christian. And he was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And I was like, no, I was just kidding. I wasn't going to really do that. And I didn't do it.
Wow, he Christian checked. He checked your Christian scorecard. Saw it was low.
Yeah, dude.
Wasn't smash good. Cut to me and you on the road the last time we had a Bible.
Oh, dude, come on, man. Dude, Bible covers are so designed for drug use.
Wow, you guys are satanic, dude.
Hell yeah.
Zach, do you worship the devil?
I'm playing Doom right now. I'm fucking destroying the devil.
Oh, good.
Have you played Doom Eternal?
I don't have a video game system. I'm not allowed to have one.
Very unpowerful move. You let your wife
tell you. I banned myself because I told her when we first met, I said, I'm going to tell you that I want a video game system. Don't let me do it because I can't stop playing them.
Really?
It kicks up my autism. I'm fighting autism all the time and I get a video game system. It totally I lose control and just autist out.
I mean, right now it's almost the time you have to do it. If you're going to get a video game system, we have nothing but downtime.
Well,
we're just reading books like a fucking psycho.
Yeah, exactly. Reading books, programming.
Who the fuck reads books?
Me, dude, all the time. What's the next law? I'm pumped up on this right now.
I know you're loving these fucking laws, dude. All right. And shout out to all the Gomites out there. Law number 27, the Gomite law. Sorry.
Here we go.
Gomite law.
Wait.
All right. Law number 28. Enter action with boldness. This law is sponsored by Blue Chew. If you're unsure of your course of action, do not attempt it. Your doubts and hesitations will infect your execution. Timidity is dangerous. Better to enter with boldness. Any mistakes you commit through audacity are easily corrected with more audacity. I love this fucking law. Everyone admires the bold. No one honors the timid. Fuck it. Have an opinion. Even if you're wrong, own that shit, right? It's better to fucking be the person who fucking actually has an opinion, who actually takes action, actually gets shit done, than a person who is sitting in the fucking background. Sitting in the fucking background, forgettable as fuck.
Lewis, you really do Daffy Duck your way through life.
What do you mean?
Just the way Daffy Duck would just be bold like that. That to me sounds like the way Daffy would just bullshit everyone all the time. But that's kind of you. You have your opinion before you know it, and then you stick to it.
I work it out backwards. Usually what I'll do is I will make a statement, and then I will say, all right, I'm going to defend that statement to the death. And then I will work it backwards, and hopefully logic will connect along the way. A lot of the times it doesn't. But then when they call you on it, you just fucking threaten to fight them.
Yeah, by then you're so mad that it doesn't matter who's wrong and who's right.
Yeah, dude, you just pound your chest a lot and yell. And then they're like, all right, dude, I don't want to deal with this person anymore.
Rabbit season! See what I mean?
Nah, dude, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That's what I'm talking about.
You can't keep on trying to discount every one of these fucking laws, dude. We're trying to teach people how to be powerful.
No, you do got to be bold. I'll give you that. That's a good one. You got to be bold,
dude.
Can't be pussyfooting.
You can't be pussyfooting. You can't be fucking forgettable.
Heard that. Can't pussyfoot.
You need to be, dude, let me tell you something. You know, when I was on Legion of Skanks the other day, I was talking about how, like, I was like infamous in high school. I was like, everybody, it's not that everybody liked me. Everybody fucking knew who I was.
Yeah, the retarded kid.
No, everybody knew who I was because anytime
rubber band target,
anytime I entered a room, you knew the fuck I was there. Okay, anytime something was going on,
they saw your helmet. They're like, "Oh,
20 points if you get the rock to hit the helmet."
Oh my god, they saw your orange safety vest from a mile away. Oh, they saw two nuns escorting you off a short bus, and they're like, "Oh fuck, here's Lewis's limo's
pull up." Oh, Lewis has his entourage today.
Wearing safety goggles and vest. Zach started that. I'll give Zach that. That was pretty.
Zach is not very bold.
That was a problem. Zach attack, dude. That was a bold Zach attack.
God damn it, give him a Zach attack. Does deserve it.
That was fucking good.
Pew pew. Yeah. You don't want to, you know, whatever. This is. You can apply it easily to sales. You can apply it to business deals. You can apply it to fucking relationships. If you're trying to fuck a chick. Dude, a chick wants to be fucking grabbed and held down. She wants to be fucking just taken, you know? She doesn't want some fucking pussy like, ooh, ooh. That shit's not hot. McCusker.
Yeah, to be like, yeah, I promise not to sexually assault you.
No, dude, yeah. If you say, I promise not to sexually assault you, a woman would rather be raped than have a man say, I promise not to sexually assault you. Any woman on this earth. Shannon, back me up on this.
I cannot agree with you on this.
Do you understand my point, though? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I also don't want to be I want to be like, I do want to be manhandled, but after my consent is at least implied.
How many is this okay's can you stand? If someone's like, is this okay? Was this okay? Is it
one.
Okay if I touch your hair? Is it okay if I touch your ears? Is it okay? Is someone buzzing in your house, dude?
Yeah, what I think the deliveries happen all the time and they fucking buzz everybody. This is what they do in New York City, guys. You just be in the middle of life and then your buzzer will go off and be like, who is it? And then it's just some fucking dude and you have to just, you know, be like, hey, who is it? And then he's there and then you eventually just hit the buzzer and let him in and hope that it doesn't hurt everybody in your building. Hmm. That's just the way New York works. That's how real estate agents get in. They just buzz every.
Hmm.
I had a great scam to do. It was like, you can just go put up like fake Craigslist ads for apartments. Like if you just got to find, you just find an apartment that's like listed, right? Like go on Craigslist, find an apartment listed. You just get into that building and then set up your own ad and have somebody show up and have them put a deposit in the apartment and just fucking dip out.
I think people do that for real, honestly.
I know. Law number 29.
That's not a bad idea though. Just see the place, not leave. And then you're in. How would you get back in the apartment? Don't you need the keys though? Or do you like hide in the closet?
Usually a lot of the time the apartments, doors are open. So real estate agents, they can't fucking get keys from her. It's a pain in the ass. So they get into the front door. The actual empty apartment is open. So he's got to get into the front door. I know that I heard somebody do this before, but I made this scam up because I used to sell real estate. And I remember thinking about it. I was like, the amount of deposit, it took like $500 in cash from so many people because they want the apartment. And that's that. You just disappear. They have no idea who you fucking are.
So, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I'm not bad. Law number 29, Shannon. And Shannon, the point I was making was you want a man to be a little bit more aggressive than be a pussy, okay? Maybe I was speaking a little bit crazy.
Yes, I agree with that.
Law number 29. Plan all the way to the end. The ending is everything. Plan all the way to it. Take into account all the possible consequences, obstacles, and twists of fortune that might reverse your hard work and give the glory to others. By planning to the end, you will not be overwhelmed by circumstances, and you will know when to stop. gently guide fortune and help determine the future by thinking far ahead. Yeah, I mean, you know, this is fucking sales 101. Setting goals that you can visualize, you can see, you can work out the path. You know, it's, I live this fucking life. I live McCusker, because you're a new dad. How old your kid now? How many months?
Only 6 weeks.
6 weeks. God damn it, dude. That's fucking crazy. Congratulations, man. How much are you loving it? It's the best, right?
It's fun. It is fun. She can't do anything yet, which kind of sucks, but she is. She
can't catch a bottle of fucking olive oil, I'll tell you that much.
Can't blow her nose or anything, fucking, man.
Butt her hands.
Yeah, she's it is pretty fun, man. It's funny watching them grow. But yeah, I need her to kind of speed it up.
But I remember when my son was born, I remember I said, I was like, I want to, by the time my son has like memories, which I sort of mentally set at the age of 4, I was like, 4 years old is when I started really having memories. Like, I could remember things that happened when I was 4, not everything, but I could sort of remember back then.
You have flashes of it.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember just sort of saying to myself, I was like, by the time my son is 4 years old, I want to be somewhat successful. I want to have a certain amount of money in the bank. I want to have a certain amount of things going on. I want to have a nice apartment. I want to have, you know, and it's, you know, my son was 4 and this goal, you know, obviously I hit it. Like, you know, but it was, the point of it is, it was like, I was completely in control of that. That it was sort of arbitrary. Like, I just said, oh, by the time he's 4, what if it was 3 that I thought the memories were, you know what I'm saying? What if it was 5? It was a completely within my control. I decided that. So the lesson that I took from that, it's just like, yeah, I have complete control of all these things. These goals are within our control with it. At least something like that. It wasn't anything. I didn't say I wanted a fucking $1 billion, but even goals like that are within our control. You know what I'm saying? They are just steps. There is just a path there. And I sort of look at that example and it encouraged me. It annoys me because I go, fuck, I should have really just moved that goalpost way further. I should have wanted more or made it a bigger goal. But also I learned from it because now I'm applying that and I'm going like, no, I have to be very specific. If I have a very specific goal, I need to, I mean, I'm sort of as specific as possible. You know what I'm saying? The fucking day that you want to get it, go through the beats, go through the past, visualize all that shit. It sounds so stupid. All that shit is fucking dumb. I know. Until you believe it, and then you start putting one foot in front of the other because you're fucking motivated and you're the best version of you, right? So it's only dumb if you don't believe it, right? It's only dumb if you go, oh yeah, it's fucking stupid. Only a fucking guy who works at AT&T would fucking... Yeah, that you're right. It probably shit like that won't work for you. But then you go, oh, no, I can set a goal, something very specific, and then I can put one foot in front of the other foot. Then I can see that. I can go there. And you're like, holy shit, I just did all that because I had the fucking mental capacity to do it and I was motivated to do it. So it's whatever it is in you. It may be you might have a fucking troll dog that you leave on your fucking desk that makes you feel like you're lucky. You might have a lucky number and you wear a fucking jersey. When you're wearing that number, you feel like $1 million. Whatever it is. None of this shit's real. None of it's magic. It's you. It's whatever taps into your own fucking thing. And I really do believe that, you know, the whole point, it's just goal setting. That's the way that I interpret Law 29.
Yeah. I think setting goals is great. But if everybody blamed all of their problems on everybody else while doing that, everyone just constantly undermine each other. So set your goals. This book is like, if you make a mistake, blame it on someone. Blah.
So no, I don't think they're saying that. Here's what they're saying. That other law, they're saying that set yourself up to be the person that's always right. Because if you're trying to look, it sounds stupid, right? I know, but this is this fucking game, right? So let's just apply it to one area in life. Like, let's just say you're working at a job, right? You have your day job. Yeah, apply that. You know, if you are coming to the table with things. Make sure you're constantly setting yourself up to be the person that is efficient, the person that's correct, the person that has the fucking right ideas. And if you can figure out a way to when your ideas aren't the ones that are flying, to where you don't have to take the brunt, well, you're going to probably get further along. I don't think that that's a bad thing. I'm not saying that that's not blaming other people for your mistakes. That's just playing a game a certain way.
Well, you use the scapegoat, which is directly blaming somebody for your mistakes. They did. I am a big fan of goal setting, though. I like that. Goals. If you're not setting goals, dude, you're spinning. You're bullshitting.
You run a race without a finish line, baby boy.
Heard that, bro.
All right, let's go to the next one.
You're playing yourself. You don't set goals.
Law number 30, make your accomplishments seem effortless. Your actions must seem natural and executed with ease. All the toil and practice that go into them and also all the clever tricks must be concealed. When you act effortlessly as if you could do much more, avoid the temptation of revealing how hard you work. It only raises questions. Teach no one your tricks or they will be used against you. This is one that I have to work on. I'm a fan of hard work. I'm proud of working hard. I'm proud of talent, in my opinion, it's weird. I don't respect talent.
I wonder why.
Zach, chime in, cocksucker. Who the fuck respects Michael Jordan and all of his natural talent? You don't respect the fuck. Basketball is a bad example because I can use MMA. Like, I don't like John Jones, right? Because he's the most fucking talented athlete in the world. It's just been handed to him, and he's kind of a dick, and he's just sort of like. But then there's guys like Michael Bisping who just fucking had to hustle and work and fucking just bite down on his mouthpiece and fucking will his way to that title. It was such a crazy journey. And guys like that are the ones that I've always had so much more respect for as from almost like a sports perspective. I have a hard time. Like, I'm proud if I put a lot of fucking work into something, I'm proud of that. But that's some basic bitch shit. That's what they're saying, really. They're like a fucking unpowerful, insecure asshole who needs to be patted on the back for his hard work, needs to prove it, needs to show his work constantly. Whereas the fucking guy who is truly powerful and truly fucking a leader, it's just like, this is nothing. This is, so I get it. I just don't apply it as much as I should.
Wasn't it funny though? His whole law is to build a weird, vague cult-like following. Could it be argued that his book is a weird, vague cult-like following?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just the same as when people read pickup artist books, and they're kind of seduced by the guy that wrote it.
Hmm. Although Lewis, that's actually true. Lewis, there's studies where they study innate talent versus people who aren't as innately talented but put in the work, and the people who put in the work who aren't as originally talented tend to do better in long-term studies. Innate talent only gets you so far.
Yeah, for the most part, I would say
they studied people who were in all areas, like people with innate musical gifts, people who didn't have it, who had to work for it.
I would probably guess more often than not, people that have innate abilities probably don't explore them as often as people that don't, right? It's almost like, whatever it is, if it comes easy for you, it's why hot chicks don't really need to ever be funny. You know what I'm saying? It's like, they just
hot chicks are hilarious. What are we talking about? It's so funny. Gut busters, dude. What are you talking about, dude? It's 2020, dude.
Yeah, dude, I'm just saying.
Hot chicks are hilarious.
Like, yeah, it's
no, I know.
Have you never seen TikTok?
Yeah, that's I hear you. But if a hot chick, I'm gonna go against my own thing. I feel like a hot chick can work her whole life at being funny and just it's not in the cards, bro.
But it's based off of because being funny is like
being not funny being a hot like, chick, it's all you have to do.
There's
is
no
not
learning being funny, right? It's like it has to be built into you from it's just a natural.
It's an evolutionary trait.
Yeah. Yes. You are designed to be funny based off of your environment. Just your home life sucks and you're getting your ass kicked every day by your dad, but you and your sibling, you just fucking laugh about it. You guys kind of escape and fucking you read comic books and you make dumb jokes together. Right. Maybe you're trying to get laid. You're a guy that the only attention you've ever gotten from a girl ever has been the time you made her laugh in the first grade. And then boom, that's what sort of clicks in you. You become this funny guy, right? But with a hot chick, she's just never needed. She's never needed it. Being funny is it's almost like a social trick. You know, it's designed to, it's like a bottled like likability in that moment. You know, everyone
it's an else icebreaker.
Yeah.
It's
yeah, we're here just to make hot chicks laugh, essentially.
It's concentrated likability, right? Laughter is concentrated likability. This is why even like a lot of like people that are funny that are like fucking assholes that are dickheads. People say, like, I kind of like the guys. It's just sort of like they make you laugh, and that feeling, whatever endorphins are released while you're laughing, you go, huh, I like that guy. And it's not really true. You don't really like that guy. You like the way that that guy made you feel in that moment, you know? But that chick, you know, that hot chick has never, she's just never needed to be a part of that interaction because that likability, it never needed to be concentrated or bottled because she's a hot chick and everyone likes her immediately. So you never need it. You never need to fucking, you know, it's like the fucking, it's like the flame belch in Doom Eternal. You don't need to use the flame belch. Why would you use your flame belch?
True.
You know?
All right, got to talk about Blue Chew for a second, which I love. If you guys love sex, you're going to love Blue Chew. If you guys don't know what Blue Chew is, it is basically a performance enhancement drug for the bedroom. It gives you but there's just no other way to describe it. A harder wiener. If you want a harder wiener, and you do, your girlfriend wants one, your boyfriend wants one, your grandma wants a harder wiener. Let's get real. Everyone wants a harder wiener in their life. Blue Chew is the way to do it. Shannon, are you chugging vodka? Shannon wants a harder wiener right now. Everything is happening for a reason, guys. It is the same active ingredient as Viagra or Cialis. You know it works, and it works twice as fast because you chew it. You just chew it and do it, baby boy. The coolest part of Blue Chew is you don't have to go to the doctor and have an awkward conversation. You do the entire consultation online. It takes about 10 minutes. They prescribe you Blue Chew right on the internet, and then they send it to your house in your mailbox in discreet packaging. So you don't even got to leave. In this day and age right now with coronavirus and social distancing, you cannot go out. You can't go to places. This is a perfect way to do it. You're probably sick of banging your wife or girlfriend at this point. Well, guess what? You don't even need to enjoy it anymore. You can let Blue Chew kick in and do all of the work for you. Right now, go to bluechew.com and make sure you use the promo code WRAP because we're going to give you your first order of Blue Chew absolutely free. All you have to do is pay $5 for the shipping. Promo code WRAP, bluechew.com, bluechew.com. Make sure you get your first order for free. Use that promo code WRAP. And yeah, go pleasure your loved ones. All right, where were we?
True. You. Why don't you write your own laws of power, dude? That would be the most powerful thing you could do.
I
go at Robert Greenfield, whatever his name is, and be like, fuck him. Here's 50 laws of power. 48 not enough.
That last time, dude. I'm doing it.
Hell yeah. Version. Please.
The 48 Thank laws you. Of white power. And also, we don't actually, the problem is we haven't been addressing how these apply to the white race and how they could further the white race. We should be doing that more. And I don't feel like we've taken the initiative.
You're trying to get this book into prison then.
Yes, exactly.
Good. All right. Good for you.
Mm. All right, Shannon. Next one. Number 31. Control the options. Get others to play the cards you deal. Love it. I love a good fucking card analogy, dude.
Yeah, true.
Card tattoo. Card tattoo.
So this one's about voting.
This one's about...
It's just about the American democracy.
The best deceptions are the ones that seem to give the other person a choice. Your victims feel they are in control, but are actually your puppets. Give people options that come out in your favor, whichever one they choose. Force them to make choices between the lesser of two evils, both to which serve your purpose. Put them on the horns of dilemma.
Fuck.
They're gored wherever they turn.
I just like the phrase, horns of a dilemma.
The horns of dilemma. I like that.
I'm going to put you in the horns of dilemma, dude. I'm going to gore you.
That's McCusker's finisher in WWE, the horns of dilemma.
I love that. The horns of dilemma.
I do this one with my son all the time.
What do you do?
James, I was like, James, what do you want to have for dinner? You want to have hot dogs? You want to have hamburgers?
That's the horn.
I'm choosing what the fuck's for dinner. It's hot dogs or hamburgers. But he thinks that I put him on the horns of dilemma. Right there.
I love that, dude.
Yeah, dude. Kids are easy to put the horns. Dude, Jay. By the way, that is the secret to peaceful parenting. Right there. Is putting your kid on the horns of dilemma regularly.
Yeah.
because you don't have to, it doesn't become an argument. It doesn't become anything. You're just constantly giving the kid choices, right? And they constantly think that they're winning. They constantly feel like they're negotiating. They constantly feel like they're getting a yes. You're actually teaching them a really, really strong skill, right? And you're not yelling at them, and you're not saying my way or the highway. You're not, you know, it doesn't become an argument. It's just about, you have to outsmart your fucking kid a little bit. In order to not hit your kid, you have to outsmart your kid slightly.
Yeah.
Or you can just say fuck it and just drill your kid in the face. Today, I was buying a couch. Excuse me. And I ended up not buying a Kelly Clarkson couch. It was a really nice couch I was going to buy. It was the one that I really loved the most. And I guess it was a Kelly Clarkson collection. And Kelly Clarkson.
Couches are the size of Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah, fat fucking bitch.
She's big now?
Yeah, she's big as shit. And then, but good. she spanks her kids and then brags about it.
What?
And brags about it and tells other people they should be spanking their kids.
How much does she weigh? Ballpark.
$130
No way. She's
that's not big.
No, dude, she's a chunkster now.
No, she's chunky. Shannon, can we see your boobs?
Kelly Clarkson.
Kelly Clarkson.
Yo, let me see the size of her.
No, she's bigger than that now.
Yeah, she could definitely put a hurting on a kid. She's got a good frame.
His fucking shoulders.
Ooh, she got a good, what she gives him the Goldberg spear.
Yeah, dude, she's a big fucking girl.
Man. How hard she spank him? Damn, imagine if Kelly Clarkson was spanking you. A rich, thick woman beating your butt. I would love that.
Yeah, you would love it.
Bare bottom.
For us, dude. Obviously, yeah, ooh. But we're adults. We could walk away. We could spank back.
Yeah, I might spank back.
Oh, yeah.
So she hits her kids. Does she spank or hit them?
She spanks them.
Bare bottom?
Same shit, dude. Spanking, hitting. I don't know. I feel like bare bottom is it's a little weird.
I mean, if you're bragging about spanking your kids, you might as well be bare bottom.
Bare bottom's like a finger could slip in. Bare bottom's weird, dude. Like you're gonna hit their butthole.
I was gonna say a butthole karate chop, dude. You're cut it right down the middle, dude.
Your finger is gonna fucking, without a doubt, fucking tap the butthole.
Wait, hold one on. He's right on the butthole.
Have I ever told the story of my dad kicking me in the ass when I was a little kid?
No.
I'm a little kid and I'm like running through the house in my tidy whities, and my dad goes to kick me in the ass, and his big toe, his big manly welder big toe, went in my asshole and raised me up. So there was like a 2 second period where I'm completely in the air, all four limbs on his toe. And then it slipped back out. I hit the ground and like ran away screaming and crying. And I just remember my dad turning to my mom and go, I guess he's not gay.
Damn, you got gored.
And boy, was he wrong.
Should have kept it at half a toe.
Damn, dude, your pappy penetrated you?
Dude, it's clear as day. I just remember, like, and in reality, it was probably like, whoop, whoop. But it felt like I was flying.
Well, if you got a toe in your butt, it will feel like you're flying. Damn, dude.
Yeah, my mom never did like never spanking. It was like a double dragon street fight. She would pick up brass knuckles and bottles. My mom would really go at me.
She would eat a whole turkey for energy.
Yeah, dude. She would beat me up like an old timey video game. It was fucking crazy, dude. She really would. She would grab weapons, and you're like, I remember just thinking when I was like 8, my mom was like, just like, it was like between round 3 and round 4 of a good session. And I remember just like looking over into her corner and being like, what is wrong with you, lady? Like, I'm a child. You're fucking me up right now. You're using weapons. Like, I remember this thought, just being like, this is crazy that she's actually this fucking nuts.
Damn, dude.
Yeah.
Did you ever pick up a weapon? Did you ever pick up something in self-defense? No,
I never hit my mom back once. Ever.
Damn.
My sister would. Did we have my sister on the podcast, Zach? Did we talk about this, or was it on one of my live streams?
She called in, but I don't think she ever told the story about hitting your mom.
Dude, one time she fucking had to fight with my mom. Where do we tell the story?
No, I think you did tell this on the show. Does it have to do with blood?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, and she bled all over the couch, right?
Yeah, because he's got like a new like furniture set for like the living room. My mom would buy like, you know, my mom would buy like the shitty cheap. You get for like $1,200, you would get like a living room set, a bedroom set, and like a dining room table, like from like, you know, some furniture shop or whatever. And it'd be like 36 months of payments for like $100 a month. And we never paid for that shit. My mom would make the payment for like 2 months. And when she'd make the payment, she'd have some dude make the first payment, and then we'd get the furniture, and then we'd fucking disappear on it. But we had just gotten this couch, and my mom and my sister would get into these vicious fights. I remember my mom punched my sister in the nose, and my sister's nose started gushing blood. And my sister just took the blood into her hands and started flicking it at the couch, the brand new couch. And I was just like, oh, shit. My mom's gonna fucking kill her. It was like, it was like just crazy. Just blood all over the walls, the couch, just fists being thrown. It was pretty fucking wacky.
Damn. That's pretty wild.
That's one of the laws of Puerto Rican power.
Yeah.
Spread blood over your enemy's furniture. Yeah. Spread blood all over your enemy's Rent-A-Center couch. Damn, that's a sad story, Lewis. I'm sorry.
No, it's all good, dude. No, it's not sad. It's good.
I'm just kidding. I know.
No, it's funny now. The mom's dead.
Stone. Your mom's dead?
Yeah, she killed herself after that couch incident.
Hmm. Sorry to hear that.
No. You know what? They never had to pay for that furniture.
True.
I'm just kidding.
I got a mattress from Raymore. No, where was it? I got a mattress from like Sleepy's for free one time. It was a $1,000 mattress. I put it on a payment plan, and then I think they got like the place got flagged for fraud, and I never had to pay it back. I think I lied about how much I made, and then the lady went along with it. And then since I guess they checked, I don't know what happened, but I got it for free, so it was pretty cool.
That's how I used to get CDs for a penny each. Same way.
Yeah. From the club.
All right, law number 32, Shannon. Play to people's fantasies. The truth is often avoided because it's ugly and unpleasant. Never appeal to truth and reality unless you're prepared to the anger that comes from disenchantment. Life is so harsh and distressing that people who can manufacture romance or conjure up fantasy are like oases in the desert. Oases in the desert. Oases in the desert. Everyone flocks to them. There's great power in tapping into the fantasies of the masses. Pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
It's hard to argue. Sell people what they want.
Not even what they want. Just sell people a bigger fucking dream. Sell people a fucking, a bigger reality, a better reality, an escape from the fucking bullshit. You know, this is what we do with this podcast 3 days a week. That's what the Real Ass Podcast is. It's an escape from your fucking bullshit.
It's an oasis.
We're oases.
It's an oasis in the desert.
Much like the real oasis, we stopped liking each other a long time ago.
Today is going to be the day that the gun throw back.
It's the only real oasis left, dude.
By now, we should have somehow realized what you got to do.
How's your guys' relationship? You guys seem pretty friendly.
Me and Zach?
Yeah.
We're fine.
Better now. I yelled at him last week, but that was on me.
Damn. That was on you. What are you talking about?
Zach was having a bad day, and I do nothing but try to help and love Zach. And once in a while, he yells at me, and he fucking takes his anger out of me. And it hurts. It hurts us both.
I'm sure you had a valid gripe. What were you guys? What are you guys fighting about? Hash it out.
Time management.
Ooh.
He was mad that I don't respect his time, and sometimes I will show up late to things. And then my response was like, Zach, you're fucking obese. I'm assuming you're going to be late to everything you do. So I'm just trying to.
Those two things are related.
And he was like, that's not fucking cool or respectable to say. We're having a real conversation right now. I was like, whatever, fatty. Oink, oink.
Wow. And dude, you're telling me you're apologizing for that, Zach? That's bullshit. Fuck that.
Matt, edit this out again, Sharon. Every turn on this podcast, Matt McCusker is fucking making me look like an asshole.
I'm not making you look like an asshole.
Are these people, I have to fucking sell them a reality that's not real, okay? I have to control the options.
Dude, I'm the smokescreen, dude.
I'm trying to fucking make my accomplishments seem effortless, and here you are.
Yeah. See, stop subtly holding up a mirror to Lewis.
God damn it, McCusker. The fans are trying to be inspired right now. You're de-inspiring them.
You're de-inspiring, dude. I'm inspiring them.
No, dude, you're de-inspiring them right now.
No way.
The fans are on the edge of their seat right now being inspired. True. And every time I say something, here comes you. No, that's not the way it works. Sorry. No, don't manipulate people.
I just asked a question about Zach. I just said, what was the beef about? Make sure you guys are good, dude.
McCusker, come on. A lot of people depend on this podcast for their commute that they don't have to do right now.
That's true. All right. What's the next law, Shannon?
1 second.
God damn it, Shannon.
There you go.
As I pour some more whiskey.
Ooh, I like this.
Discover each man's thumb screw.
Whew.
Everyone has a weakness, a gap in the castle wall. That weakness is usually an insecurity, an uncontrollable emotion or need. It can also be a small secret pleasure. Either way, once found, it is a thumb screw you can turn to your advantage. It's blackmail.
Yeah, what's your
blackmail? Blackmail your friends and enemies.
What's your thumb screw?
Blackmails.
Well, one in particular, Zach. He's fucking thumb screwing my son's mother. No, you're not supposed to. McCusker, once again, you're fucking this up, dude.
I want to know your thumb screw, dude.
McCusker, shut the fuck up. You're not supposed to know your thumb screw. You're supposed to find others' thumb screws and use them against them. You're not supposed to tell your thumb screw to your enemies or potential enemies. There are podcast listeners right now. The enemies listen to the podcast too. If you have an enemy and he has a podcast, listen, he's going to give you some ammunition. Go listen to that podcast.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Do you know of anyone's thumb screws?
I have a collection of thumb screws in my bedroom right now that I keep on everybody.
He has a coffee can full of them.
Yeah.
Zach, what's Lewis's thumb screw if you had a guess?
Oh, trying to out alpha him. He can't take it.
That's not my thumb screw.
Oh, you get pretty upset.
That's not my thumb screw. It's the way my butt looks without my underwear. All you got to do is get a picture of my butt, and then I'll give you anything.
Fully compromised.
Dude, it's over.
What's wrong with your butt?
My butt sucks, dude.
Flat?
Dude, doesn't make sense.
What do you mean?
It looks shapeless. Like God was trying to make a second pair of legs on the back and then gave up.
It's a fucking nightmare, dude. It's a fucking nightmare. And my problem is I enjoy to tape myself having sex. And I mean, it's almost no watchability back, you know?
How?
Because my butt sucks so much, dude.
It's just flat. You have a flat butt?
I almost want to show you.
Is it inverted? Like, what happens?
It's fucking disgusting. It's flat. It's like flabby, a skeleton. It's wide. It's long somehow. It's wide and long.
You have a dumpy butt? You have a lesbian butt.
It's got longitude and latitude.
You have a dumpy protester lesbian butt.
I have
butt.
A...
Lewis has a mom butt.
I have a gym teacher butt, like a lesbian gym coach.
You have a Honda Odyssey butt?
You know, she's not even a gym coach. She's a health teacher. I have a health teacher butt. Like a former gym coach, but now just teaches health because she had so much.
And she wears denim shorts up to like here.
Yeah.
No, dude. You have a butt that should be mashed with a fupa, you're saying?
Yeah, that's it's my bum screw.
Damn, dude. You shouldn't have told anyone your thumb screw.
I told everyone my thumb screw. We're going to edit this out. It's okay. Shannon, make sure you edit all this out.
Edit my thumb screw.
People can't know about my thumb screw, dude. You're doing the opposite of the fucking 48 laws of power. You're supposed to be finding out thumb screws, not giving out our thumb screws. What's your thumb screw now? Now that you know mine.
What's my thumb screw? Pretty similar. I feel like people could just compromise me on. I used to think that I had really fat thighs when I was younger. So if someone is like, yo, dude, what's up? Those pants a little smaller than thighs, I'll immediately go back to like seventh grade and be like, fuck, 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 my thighs are fat. Thighs are so fucking fat. I'm so fucking fat. But yeah, I have similar demons, dude. I have fat thunder thighs.
I have fucking fat thunder thighs. I haven't even talked about my thunder thighs. My butt is such a thumb screw to me that I haven't even gotten to my thighs.
Damn, I just uncorked your other thumb screw, dude. I was probing around the lower body in general.
Oh, dude.
Lewis's body looks like God was trying to make a centaur and gave up.
I got a lot of thumb screws, dude.
Fat thighs are powerful, though. I've came to appreciate my voluminous thighs.
Well, the other thing is, you know, it's powerful just showing off my flabby ass and being like, who gives a fuck? Because no, like girls don't want, it's the same thing. It's like wearing the t-shirt in the fucking pool.
Is it like dimpled? Do you have like a stripper ass?
There's nothing good about it, Matt. There's nothing good about my ass. I mean, I almost wish I could show you. If Shannon wasn't on the stream, and I would show it to you.
True. That's
close my eyes.
Be a gentleman.
Shitty liar, because you fucking lying asshole. You would love to be able to see my thumb screw and screen grab it, probably. Fuck you, Shannon. You think I'm going to go show my ass to this screen? You have my thumb screw and be able to use it against me?
Zach, have you seen his ass?
For sexual harassment, you fucking bitch.
Zach, have you seen his ass?
I'm sure I have. Yeah, definitely.
Can you do like a court sketch of his ass? Like a police sketch?
No, I don't think we have time for that.
Paper's not flat enough.
Man, that's so funny. Oh, man, I've never thought.
Shannon,
I just assumed you had a rumple or an ample rear.
Rumple still skin?
I just assumed. I just, you know, excuse me. I'm sorry. I thought you had thick Puerto Rican butt.
I wish, dude. I wish. Shannon, what's the next one? Law number 34. We have two more laws here? Or no, three more laws?
Yeah, three more.
Law number 34. Be royal in your own fashion. Act like a king act like a king to be treated like one. The way you carry yourself will often determine how you are treated. In the long run, appearing vulgar or common will make people disrespect you. For a king respects himself and inspires the same sentiment in others. By acting regally and confident of your powers, you make yourself seem destined to wear a crown. Yeah, I mean, look, it's going to seem like I don't act kingly. I'm pretty fucking kingly, doggy. Like in my own right. You know what I'm saying? Like comedians are fucking schlubby fucking losers. Okay. And I'm sort of a boss, right? So it's like, no, I don't dress nice or speak eloquently, and I don't act like I'm of any sort of high class or of any sort of intelligence. But everyone that's in a room with me knows that I'm better than them. For the most part. There's a few fucking cocksuckers that are out there, but for the most part.
Yeah, they're called audiences.
Everyone knows what the fuck's up. Everyone knows what the fuck's up. And I do act like I'm better than others. That is just acting like you're better than others. Really, that's what it is. And if you act that way, people sort of assume that as well. They're like, why is this guy acting better than me? Is he better than me? He must be better than me.
I like that. Yeah. Have you ever thought about getting like implants?
Breasts?
Like Cardi B's. No, like some Cardi B or like some Nicki Minaj. You go, dude, bigger than Nicki Minaj.
Please let my thumb screw go. See, now you know it, and now it's in your head, and now you're obsessing over it.
I'm saying you have the money, dude.
You're my boy. I fucking let my
boy know for a minute. And I'm trying to see you with a fat Nicki Minaj ass, dude. You could have one. You could go to Brazil. It'd be probably like $5,000, dude. You could have a fat fucking ass.
Oh, dude, that first picture of Lewis with a fat ass breaks the internet.
Yeah, man.
Lewis with the champagne glass on his ass.
I would love to have a fucking beautiful ass.
Oh. You should do it. Oh, my God.
I would go skinny dipping. What's funny is not the last time I was in Jamaica, but a couple times ago, I went skinny dipping. Me and my chick at the time, mm-hmm. We would just get naked. And I would just walk I have a little dick and this fucking flabby gross ass. It's fucking.
They thought you were a stingray on the surface.
They tried to fucking night harpoon me.
Some tourist tried to pet you in the fucking pool.
Dude, to watch me skinny, like Like, you people have to assume I'm a billionaire. Like, why would I ever why would I ever skinny dip with this little dick
and this flabby
ass? It's psychotic. You would see me like, this guy, he must be a fucking movie producer. He must have so much money, because the confidence of this man. Dude,
that's kingly. That is kingly.
Fucking some king
busting
shit.
A teeny skinny dip is kingly, dude.
A little dick and a flabby fat ass on a nude beach. Like, you're the fucking man.
They're just out on the sign changing the rules. Like, all right.
It's a fucking it is so funny, dude.
I love that. We should do that'd be funny to do a thing, be like, oh, it's a tennis nude beach day, and then just call a bunch of hogged out dudes to come. Just have like invite 4 tennises. Just do Black Biker Week, skinny dipping, and have like 4 white dudes. Like, oh, what the fuck? I thought it was for us.
Yeah. Nobody's in the water.
Fuck me.
Dude, Tina skinny dipping. I can say I've definitely Tina skinny. That's my thumb screw, dude. It's my Tina. Yeah, Tina's is my thumb screw. There you have it.
I know Tina's is gonna be thumb screws. Obviously, that's my thumb screw. Duh. I don't remember other thumb screws.
Ultimate powers, owning your thumb screw and turning into the ultimate kingly power, dude.
Yeah, dude. Like, what?
Dude, showing Tinas and Bush might be the most powerful thing. That was the whole ancient Greece was built around, showing your Tinas.
Yeah.
Dude, thumbscrew sounds like a name for a small dick, by the way.
It's my thumbscrew. My dick is my thumbscrew. My thumbscrew is my thumbscrew.
Yeah, statue of all the statues back then was just your Tinas, and everyone's like, damn, that guy fucking rules.
Yeah.
It's a marble bust, dude. Shit.
Well, I think that's the thing. I think that they were just more honest about dicks back then. Right, so I grew up with a complex. I grew up thinking that I had a fucking small dick. Right now, here's the thing. My dick is small. Not hard. My dick is laughable. Mm. Like, my dick, not hard, is just a little fucking peanut sitting on this fucking flabby fucking body. It sucks, okay? It is just not. But then what you find out is like, oh, no, we're only exposed to huge dick our whole fucking childhood and adolescence. We're never exposed to average and small dicks. Mm. So we see porn, or we see our friends who have the confidence to pull out their huge, massive dicks. So all we see is just, it gives you a complex. Every fucking time I see a dick, to the point where in like my middle school and high school years, I start like looking like if I'd be next to a dude in a stall, because I had to get some sort of confirmation that there were other small dicks out there. Because I... Like, in my mind, up until maybe the 11th or 12th grade, I thought I had the smallest dick on the planet. I was like, this is crazy. When is my dick going to grow? I've never seen anything like this anywhere on the fucking planet ever. Where is it?
I had the opposite. I thought I had a huge dick, and then I saw other dicks. And I was like, oh, what the fuck is this? What the hell? I just assumed I had a huge dick.
Really?
Yeah, and some girl was like, no, I dated a guy. His dick was like 3 times the size of yours. And I was like, say what? Is that possible?
It killed you? Were you a ghost?
And then she went, also, yeah, I'm pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yep. Dashed my young dreams.
Yeah.
In a real nice way, too. She's like, yeah, it was so weird. It was just big. It was awkward. And I was like,
oh, don't you hate when girls tell you that? She's like, oh, yeah, this is the worst thing a girl could tell you. Ladies, stop saying this line to your average-sized fella. Stop. Don't ever say the words, I hate big dicks. When you say that, it makes us want to punch you in your fucking lying mouths.
Yeah. That you've had. You've seen so many. They're just like a bother to you now. They're like,
I don't like a big dick that's too big. He's like, just bitch, shut up. Or you know what I hate even more? When a girl will act like your dick is hurting them and you're like, I know what I have. This isn't causing any. Stop fucking acting like it hurts. You fucking.
Yeah, you just send him to the doctor. Like, there's something clearly wrong with you. You should go get that checked out. My dick does not hurt.
Yeah. All right. Law number 34.
535.
Oh, wait, no. 35. That's right. Master the art of timing. This is a real tough one for me. Never seem to be in a hurry. Oh, Jesus Christ. Hurrying betrays the lack of control over yourself and over time. Always seem patient as if you know that everything will come to you eventually. Become a detective of the right moment. Sniff out the spirit of the times, the trends that will carry you to power. Learn to stand back when the time is not yet ripe and to strike fiercely when it has reached fruition. This is a great fucking law that I am, I need to apply. You never see people that are powerful and fucking respected and fucking, like, just fucking running late and fucking freaking out and chasing a bus and screaming at a cab driver. It's just like, nobody successful does that shit.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like a, I really got to fucking just, who cares?
Hmm. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, that is something. When I'm late, you try to like fight reality by like, I'm going to fight. Like, you try to like move fast inside your own body. It's like, dude.
I try to yell at time.
Yeah.
I try to intimidate time.
Yeah. It's always passing. So you're like, hey, where are you going? Are you talking again? Back, I'm mad at you at this moment.
Yeah, I fight with my wife a lot about that. We'll be late, and then she'll try to like, endanger everybody on the road by driving like a maniac. It's like, dude, you're late. Accept the reality that you're late and just go with it. Show up 10 minutes. You know why we feel weird about showing up late to places, by the way? Time clocks were invented by Christian monks. And then if you were like, when they just showed clocks to everybody, people were like, what the fuck is this? Like, dude, it's two. And they're like, what the fuck is two? And like, you gotta be here by two, otherwise you're sinning against God.
Really? Oh, yeah, so time crazy? Was like a Christian. Like, but it's,
well, the clock that like the mechanical, like dong in the middle of a town. They were just one day you were just walking around and then it was just like bong. And everyone's like, yo, come on, man. What the fuck are you doing? Like, what is this? And you're like, it's a fucking clock. Get to town square. We're talking right now.
Wow.
They just busted them out on people. Yeah. And told you if you didn't come when the bell rang, you were a sinner and you're going to hell. It's fucked up.
Yeah, dude.
So stay late, dude. Stay fucking late.
I show up late a lot to things. Here's the thing. I think being late is a powerful ass move, dude. My mom taught me that very early in life. She taught me the phrase fashionably late. Because she always be running late for shit. She was like, no, I'm not late. I'm fashionably late. And then I was like, oh, I kind of get it. And I do this a lot because there's something about when you're late to something and people are waiting for you, it sends a subconscious psychological message deep into them. You're saying, I'm the fucking show, bitch.
Whoa, Zach, how you feel about
that? You are
a psychological message that says, I don't respect you.
Oh, wait, shit. Shit, this is mine and Zach's exact argument. Shannon, erase this from Zach's mind somehow.
Oh, Shannon, men in black, man.
But it's true. It's subconscious, and you shouldn't be late, but, you know, it does let everyone know, like, hey, just so you know, time starts when I fucking get here. I am the clock.
Yeah, but there's a difference. There's like being late to going somewhere and being late to a podcast that you're doing from your couch.
I am the clock.
Yep. One letter off.
He's not late. You're just early, bro.
Yeah, stop being such a goody-two-shoes faggot, being all early, trying to go extra credit. That's not powerful. Powerful people don't do extra credit, dude. Powerful people fucking turning the paper right at the last minute.
I don't know, Zach. I don't know how I feel about that.
I'm in the middle.
Zach's going all extra credit on me right now. Hold on. Do we have one more law, Shannon?
Yep, one more.
This is great. You don't need to read the book. You could just listen to this series and you'll completely understand the book. It's a better version of it. Mm. This is like the audio version of the book. You get the entire audio version of the book in like five and a half hours. So. Mm. Okay. Oh, I just got drunk. That was a sip. Disdain things you cannot have. Ignoring them is the best revenge. This is really written by a 7-year-old. It's what happened with me and Nicole Arbor.
That's pretty funny.
Oh, shit. By acknowledging a petty problem, you give it existence and credibility. The more attention you pay to an enemy, the stronger you make him. A small mistake is often made worse and more visible when you try to fix it. It is sometimes best to leave things alone. If there is something you want but cannot have, show contempt for it. The less interest you reveal, the more superior you seem. Yeah.
Hmm.
Fuck Comedy Central. What do I want a show on there for? I control my own destiny.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
I also don't want a show on Comedy Central, Zach. You know, stop acting like I just fucking... Who the hell wants a Comedy Central show?
Not me. Right now, nobody.
Nobody wants to... You know, people want the money. People want the fucking development deal. People, you know, people will sell their soul. Every person that I know that has had a Comedy Central show in development in the past 3 years, you want to know the conversation they have behind closed doors?
Yeah, they're miserable.
They go, yeah, this fucking sucks. It's never going to be a show. I hate the project, but fuck it, dude. It's 150K. I need the money. You know what I'm saying? Like... That is the tone. And then every person that I know that is doing their own shit and creating their own podcast, creating their own YouTube channel, all these guys are fucking, you know, just loving what they're doing. And then they're figuring out the path to the money. So it's going to connect, right? It'll eventually, it's like guys like Tim Dillon, fucking Kyle Dunnigan. Manchin and Secret Podcasts, obviously. But these guys that are doing their own fucking thing, putting out content, and they are enjoying it, loving it, and they're connecting the dots and figuring out how to get the money. And then when it's all said and done, they're going to be their own boss. They're going to have their own fan base. They're going to have their own money. They're going to have control of their own product. That is what it's supposed to be. So it's this quarantine and this whole fucking virus. It really sucks for a lot of people. You know who it doesn't suck for? It doesn't suck for people that are really innovative, that are self-starters, that work for themselves. Because those people are always going to figure out a way to find themselves and figure out a way to find that path. So, you know, I this is what we're trying to do right now. It's what we're trying to do with Gas Digital. You know, it's, you know, obviously we can't go do stand-up comedy shows, but we can fucking create more podcasts. We can create this new cartoon. We can fucking try to do various different things. We're having new weekly meetings now with the producers on the team, just going over different unique ideas, trying to think outside of the box, doing things that nobody's ever done before. So simple as that. You gotta fucking adapt, baby boys. I don't even remember what that was we were just talking about.
Disdain.
Show disdain for things you can't have, yes.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean whatever. Ignoring is the best thing. Yeah, whatever. I don't really understand that law that much. I don't really give a shit about that law. You can scrape that one from the book. They should have called it the 47 Laws of Power.
I
hate that law.
That law does suck. Oh, that does.
I have disdain for that law.
Real sour grapey. Just like,
Yeah, fucking faggot.
Fuck that guy. Fuck Robert Greenfield.
Fuck Robert Greene's book.
He's a bitch.
What a pussy. Should fight Robert Greene. All right, this is it. This is the show. That was it. That was
hell yeah.
That was easy. Easy peasy, Matt piece McCusker.
Of cake, dude. Piece of cake. I was keeping him honest on it. I'm not going to lie. I was keeping everyone honest.
I know. You, a lot of people say that you were going against the grain, but I like that. It's a powerful-ass fucking move right there.
Thank you, bro. That's why we vibe, dude.
I know, dude. I love the power that comes off of you.
Same. I felt your power, dude. I felt you. I felt you try to take me out. I felt that.
I know, dude. But then you know what it is? I felt you fucking push back against my power, and then I was like, oh, dude, this guy's got some fucking power. Hell yeah.
Lewis is fat, shapeless, long power.
Lewis put the clamp down on me, dude. I felt it.
Hell yeah. Listen, guys, thank you. Real Ass Podcast, you guys are the best. Thank you for supporting the show. Go subscribe on iTunes as well if you're listening for free, or on YouTube. My YouTube channel is now bumping, baby boys. So go subscribe on YouTube as well. And thanks for supporting the show. Support Matt and Shane's Secret Podcast, Zach Amico's Midnight Spook Show, Shannon Lee Hires, The Thing Is, Ding. And we will be back on Friday with another incredible edition of your favorite podcast, The Real Ass Podcast. Until then, a bientôt.